I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio. And as usual, I always like to ask how the week was for each of you in the real estate biz. Who wants to go first?
Not personally.
Did you work?
Yeah, I was going to say, you should talk, Mr. Travel Bug over there. Your Colorado trip turned out okay?
Another victory. Another overtime victory.
Good for you guys.
We just keep rambling.
Very good.
Nice. Yeah, good. Yeah, but real estate was really good while you were, I know you came right back again on Sunday.
It's 24 hours. That's
I know. I give you a hard time, but he's in and out and back. But what's been happening in housing is, as we've headed into kind of the fall market, what happens is the existing market, in my opinion, has been warming up. New construction's been cooling down a little bit, even though we had the fall parade. It's an average, what I've personally experienced. I know we've had some hot pockets out there, we've had some colder pockets, but in new construction, Chris, you and I both are experienced with this, and we do this every weekend, and there's, I don't want to say the word slowdown, but it feels like things are kind of a little slower than normal. What's your thought
on
that?
You think it's a decision process, or actually things are slowing down? Because I mean, the traffic-wise, and I've said it before, I haven't been on the Parade of Homes for 17 years. Mm-hmm. But doing it this year, I thought the traffic was fantastic. And now, obviously, we were in a home, a luxury home, where you had to pay $5 to be able to get in, and which goes for a real good thing. But our traffic was amazing.
Well, sure. I mean, you're in a beautiful home. I mean, the average builder probably had, 10 to 12 people per day through in a normal model, and you're having that at a time. So it's different. I mean, it's absolutely different. So depending on why are you looking like you're...
Well, I'm just surprised that's all that showed up.
Because
open houses have been slow too. So.
Well, no, and it's been, you'll see, I mean, you're talking about over a 6-hour period of time. I mean, some of my models were having, up to 40 couples per day. But on average, I bet you it's probably 12 to 14 couples a day or partners or people, groups. And that's pretty normal. And that's actually okay because, the statistics, I think they were saying that, like 10% of the people that are coming through the door are actually thinking about doing something for real, or maybe a little higher than that. But it's there's a lot of people that enjoy the entertainment value, which I'm sure you're a target of because of the value of your property too.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people come to that just to, see a $2 million home versus, that they're purchasing them. But we got a lot of actually really good inquiries and, potential clients down the road. Mm-hmm. So I was really pleased with it. I think the existing market has done that same thing. It's just kind of sitting there. Hopefully, typically fall is pretty good as you get into the upper bracket home. And, because again, people are, they're busy. They're busy, busy, yep. busy. And all of a sudden it's like, oh boy, we're going to miss it again. Let's grab it here in the fall. So.
Well, Denny, and we thought, hey, with new construction, who better to get? We went right to the Minnesota or the Builders Association of Twin Cities, which now they run as the Housing First Minnesota. We brought in David Siegel, and he's the executive director, and we brought him in today to talk a little bit about, the new construction environment that we're in, where we're going. Are what we've just talked about, is it accurate, or are we way off compared to everybody else?
I think it's accurate. And your point about folks going to the parade is about right. We've done some research. But half the people that go on the parade are there just to kind of see the eye candy, get ideas, think about new things. And about half the people that go on the parade are transactional. So mm-hmm. they're actually there looking to do something, hopefully to take some action. And we surveyed the builders after the parade. Traffic was pretty solid. I think that's true. About average, about normal. A little bit of caution in pulling the trigger, right? Mm-hmm. A little slow making things happen. And so I think that's the reflection that you're seeing. In the last 60 to 90 days, we've seen that sort of that tampering of enthusiasm to just not quite ready to take that action.
Well, and I think the mental hurdle that a lot of people had was, you know, just the sheer prices of houses, where I think people say, hey, let's go look at new houses, how much the new houses cost. And like we talked about before the show here this morning, we were talking a little bit about how it actually is a challenge to build a house around $400,000. I mean, you have to really put a house that's desirable, that has all the features that a lot of people are looking for. Of course, there's ways to do it for less. I mean, we've got, you know, some of our guys will do in the 200s, but it gets to the point of where for a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house, it's $400,000 to $500,000 minimum, or higher. And it's I think the marketplace is a little price shocked. I don't know. What do you think?
I think things are a little out of whack in that we need to build more of that $300,000, $325,000, $350,000 house so that that first time home buyer moves up into that new unit. And that frees up that lower part of the market for the folks that are trying to get in. We mm-hmm. can't build enough of that product. Just the cost of labor, the cost of materials, and the regulatory burden that we're seeing is pretty substantial across the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. It costs us about 26% more to build a house in this market than it does in, say, similar markets around the Midwest. Take, you know, Indiana, for example, Indianapolis. Let's take Chicago, even across the river in Wisconsin. We can take the identical model here, put it in Wisconsin and Hudson, and build it for about 26% less.
Jeez.
And that's just mostly regulatory challenges and the availability of land. We have a Met
cost.
Council, mm-hmm. you know, that restricts our land supply here.
I'm listening to Chris Google how to become a realtor in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. So that does present a challenge. We've got some thoughts on how We could look at that. We think we could talk to the legislature about some creative ways that builders could be given a little more flexibility to build, do some experiments, and see what we could come up with.
But at the end of the day, I mean, every builder I've talked to this year has been stressed because the labor, the weather, the, you know, and it's normal building practices that are out there that are happening. But it's getting the guys to show up and getting them to show up when it's raining or getting, you know, and it's been a struggle. The summer's been a tough one, and we had a bunch of really nice orders in the early spring. And then the last couple months, we've seen permits kind of slowing down a little bit, which makes us a lot more cautious heading into the fall.
And, a little scary, right? We've got some headwinds in front of us. We know interest rates are rising a little bit. We do know we have a labor shortage in this industry. So my word to folks out there listening is if you're interested, you've got kids or you've got family mm-hmm. that are looking for great career opportunity, you ought to think about construction because we need these folks in the business. Somebody's got to do this work, and it's great work. And we do have a shortage of labor. So mm-hmm. we got a few headwinds in front of us. On the other hand, I think the fundamentals are still there. We still got consumer demand is strong. We know that these millennials are interested in owning homes. They're a little delayed in doing it. They're taking a little more time staying in mom and dad's basement than they might have in the past. But they're coming,
yep.
And we're going to welcome them.
Well, it's amazing how many, I don't know about you, Chris, but the younger, now to me, younger is anybody that's under 40, but you know, those
now,
young kids,
yeah.
the kids, right? But the families that are coming out there, and we do see a lot of the millennial buyer. And I always say, I love the generation because they're they want 20% down. They want to buy a duplex and they want to rent out the other side. They're fiscally conservative-minded individuals, and they don't take risks as much as probably previous generations do. So when they're out there buying, they're solid buyers. I mean, so when we see somebody coming in looking for a house, I'm like, all right, here we go. Here's a wonderful customer, good deposit, you know, really going to be a healthy, good relationship. So, you know, I'm a big fan. So, but I think the other thing is, too, David, is we have a huge amount of people that are in that retirement arena.
Yep.
Or they want to downsize. They want a one-level living. And a lot of our listeners have talked about this. They say, where can I find one-level living under $250,000? Because that's their budget. And are we going to see that a thing of the past?
It's tough to do, but I I do think you're going to see more of those townhome and twin home units being constructed because it is one of the ways we can build a more affordable product. When we look at our permit numbers, we see the single family is relatively flat, Andy, mm-hmm. to what you were talking about. But we see that the percentage for those twins and towns is up 18% to 20% year over year. I think that's going to continue because I think that is the product for the, for that boomer that wants to downsize mm-hmm. or that millennial that wants to get into that first-time product. You're going to see more of that product be constructed.
Well, and I think a lot of those people, too, are kind of getting into the point of where they're actually going to rentals instead of into actual single-family homes again, and they're trying it. And what I'm seeing is a lot of people that say, oh, let's downsize, and they try that apartment, and then they go, yeah, this isn't going to work. We want to get back into the marketplace. So I'm seeing a lot of those people coming back into the market, which is exciting.
I think what's interesting, too, from the flip side, we got a lot of people not downsizing but right-sizing. And what's really interesting about it is that they're coming from 5,500. I mean, we're talking at a different level, but 5,500 square foot homes. And we're building them for 6,000 square feet, but they're right size. They're the spaces that they want to do. And they're not, I mean, they're not going down in price.
Right.
It's really interesting because they see the value in that. And, you know.
The house fits them better, right? They might have the master bedroom on the main floor. They might have the washer and dryer on the main floor. It's kind of set up so that they can mm-hmm. age in place there. And that's going to be the place.
That's just it. We just had a couple in their 90s that we sold their house in Edina and they moved into a brand new house that was in the 900s. And it's. They want to live right. They want to live, you know.
I tell you what, let's take a break. We have more show to come here on this Saturday morning. Stay with us. It's more real estate on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy with a special guest. In fact, for those that have maybe tuned in a little bit late, who did you guys bring with you?
Andy, go ahead.
Chris Rooney, scared of the microphone, Denny. No, we brought in David Siegel, from the executive director of the Builders Association of Twin Cities, or what we call our Housing First Minnesota. And we wanted to talk new construction today because we feel like it's a big part of our economy. It's a big part of our real estate world that we are in every day. And we wanted to bring light to, you know, housing is slowing down. We wanted to address some of the talk a little bit about why we think it's happening and some of the major things that we're seeing. You know, what are we seeing out there? What do you think some of the factors are that are kind of slowing down the single family starts? I know we talked about it in the first segment a little bit, but just kind of a highlight reel.
Right. So I think, again, you've got interest rates going up just a little bit. That's maybe causing pause a little bit. And you've got a challenge with that affordable product, that lower-end newly built house. Then you've got some labor issues in this industry, which are pretty significant. We've got some builders that could produce more product, which we need in this market. We all acknowledge that. It's just hard to build it when you don't have the workforce to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for folks who are a little bit older, you might have had shop class when you were kids, and a lot of the high schools across the state have eliminated programs like that. So these kids aren't exposed mm-hmm. to what the industry has to offer, and we're desperately looking for workers.
Now, is that something that BATSE, which is...
Yep, Builders Association, Housing First Minnesota, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, is that what you guys are doing to try to help out?
One of the things we've done is bring together, and not just in residential, but in commercial construction as well, bring together a whole bunch of these construction associations to say, what can we do to tell people about career opportunities? So I'll mention a website. It's called projectbuildmn.org. And if you go to that website, it shows all of these different career opportunities, what the career path is. It's got a job board there. And we built it just to say, think about construction careers, folks. These are really good careers that you might not be aware of, you might not know of. And so that's the start of our effort. And then we do a speakers bureau where we're willing to go out and talk in classrooms. Mm-hmm. We've got members that are so passionate, like you are, Andy, talk about the industry. They could do it for 2 hours in front of a classroom if they could get into that classroom.
Yeah.
And so we have a speakers bureau to do that as well.
And the days of doing construction during the day and then having a bartend at night to kind of make ends meet, that's not really the case anymore.
Not the case. Excuse me, not the case. Extremely high compensation in this industry. Average across all construction jobs around $63,000.
Holy cow.
But we've got plumbers and electricians that are easily pulling in six figures. And if you're willing to work a few nights and a few weekends, you can do extraordinarily well in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think long term, while we have a little bit of a pause right now in that new home construction market, I think long term, we're looking. I heard Lawrence Yoon, he's the national economist for the National Association of Realtors. He's looking at 2-3 strong years for the new home construction market.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we look out, we're at least going to have, you know, maybe modest, but some growth over the next 2-3 years.
I think the other thing you find is when people get into the industry like that, that's just not the only way they make money. I mean, they're like the perfect landlord, investor, or flipper.
Correct.
I just sold a guy that just did it. I mean, his house was beautiful. And what he did, he leveraged the industry that he's in. They all help each other.
They do.
Do their flips, and they make a bunch of money to be able to. I mean, they're great, great careers.
Yeah, everybody who's in the industry knows somebody else who's in the industry. So if you're building your own house or you're remodeling, you're going to call on all your friends because you know everybody in the industry, and they're going to be willing to help you out because that's kind of the nature of the industry.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for, too. You talk to the guys that are on the job sites, and there's a sense of accomplishment every day.
Right.
You start with something. You're building something. You're sitting back and having that pride of accomplishment. So, you know, if you're even in a career right now that isn't flipping your switch, I mean, this is a great opportunity to really try something new, get in and have a long career. And like we were talking about this years ago, if everybody jumps in and has degrees, you know, and then you have a lack of skilled labor, and the guys that do have the technical skill labor are going to be able to charge you quite a bit because there's very few of them.
Yep.
So we've talked about that for years, you know, that it's a great opportunity.
And by the way, you become a framer or you become an electrician or you become a plumber and you do that for a couple of years and pretty soon you're at that point where you can start your own business. If you've got that entrepreneurial spirit, which a lot of the guys in this industry do, pretty easy to then take that skill set that you've developed, start your own business.
That's exciting.
And a lot of folks are doing that. So I would encourage people to think about the industry. Take a look at the website. Talk to friends and family that might have been in the biz. It's certainly an industry to think about.
Yeah. Okay. So for four straight weekends, I sat at a model where they were collecting $5 a piece from people. What happens with that money?
Yeah. So the Builders Association of the Twin Cities Housing First Minnesota has a charitable arm. It's a foundation of ours. And we build houses for homeless folks and veterans. And so the $5 that you pay when you come into these dream homes goes toward the foundation. Mm-hmm. Foundation takes that money and then works on homes for homeless and veterans. We just did a key ceremony yesterday for a house in Maplewood that's going to house five female veterans that are returning from service. And, you know, maybe they have PTSD. They need wraparound service. Maybe they have some chem dep problems. And so the Minnesota Assistance Council of Veterans, Lennar, built the house, and we did it with the foundation for the association and just turned over the keys yesterday. So we try to do a couple of those a year. That's what that's $5 fantastic. Is for the dream home.
And just for the listener, what is the Builders Association? What do you guys do, or what's the purpose of the association
It's a great question, Andy. So about 1,200 members, predominantly in the Twin Cities market. And about half of those are builders and remodelers, and about half of those are what we call trade partners or suppliers. Think of a window company, for example, or think of a siding company, something like that. And we do some lobbying for those folks, try to advance the cause of housing and home ownership. We do an awards program, several events. We bring them together so that they can network. Obviously, the Parade of Homes, probably the largest housing marketing opportunity in the Twin Cities. We've got a new tour that we do in the middle of the year in June. It's a high-end tour. It's called the Artisan Home Tour. It's a ticketed event. Again, partial proceeds go to the foundation.
I think the marketing on that was fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
Where you guys did, like, wine events and got the breweries involved. I thought it was fantastic.
Right. We had record attendance. We had about 48,000 visits to those homes in the summer tour. I think this last parade, if I do my math right, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 9,000 visits to those dream homes. There's about four or five dream homes and a couple of remodeled homes. And those folks are paying the $5, and then that goes to support the cause of the foundation. So we're pretty excited. We're looking to do hopefully a project with a company called Homes by Tradition and a church that would house some folks coming out of prison as they get reunited with their families. We're going to try to do that in the next 30 to 90 days.
Cool.
See if we can make that happen.
Since it's less expensive to build in Wisconsin, and I'm co-marketing some lots with a guy on your team, Nathaniel Pettis.
What?
Yeah, you got to head to Prescott, $47,000 lots. That's what we're talking about.
It is less expensive to build across the river, and we're actually seeing quite a bit of growth across the river as a result of that.
But there's Packer people over there, too, so
correct.
I don't know. I'd stay here. No, just kidding.
I tell you what, let's take a break. We have more real estate show to come, so stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in the studio. And, well, look what you guys brought in here. I haven't seen this fella in quite some time.
I know.
Hi, Pat. Good to see you.
Pat Remick.
Good morning.
Mr. Pat Blueberry Remick is who we got. I don't know if you remember, Denny, but we had a way back when, and everyone texted and called in about blueberries.
And that was years
Pat
ago.
Pat is like an expert of it. Yeah, we won't forget
it. Well, we had people calling about that, the step on, you called it cat mint, I believe it was, and where people step on it, it smells like mint in their garden. Mm-hmm. And I had people calling and asking about that as well. And
we talk about 100 things on here, and you two have to bring those things up all the time.
Not the outdoor kitchens or the waterfalls or the features.
When to trim trees and bushes and all that kind of stuff. But
blueberries and mint.
I was fortunate enough to have Mr. Remick on one of our seminars that we did.
It was
exterior curb appeal, and he kind of took the whole thunder. So now I'm getting you back.
Oh, well.
But it's really interesting because there's a lot of simple things that you can do to be able to prepare your house. But really, we brought you in because obviously it's fall. And trying to get ready for maybe next spring and or if we're going to be listed now, what you can and can't do right now.
Right. You know, now is an important time because a lot of the foliage hasn't fallen off the bushes or the trees. So now you can see what the weight of the leaves and the berries and everything on these bushes look like in a few weeks. The foliage is going to drop.
You'll laugh if you look at me.
So when the foliage drops, the branches and stuff will stand back up and you won't have the aspect of what it looks like during the summer months. Mm-hmm. So look at it now and realize how it looks, because in a few weeks that's all going
to
change.
Is it okay now to start shaping those trees? Is this a good time for shrubs? Not the trees, but the shrubs?
Right. But I would wait, because whatever you cut off now is the foliage that's going to be nice and colorful. Mm. So you want to let the color blossom and have that nice aesthetics. But here in a week or 10 days, all that stuff's going to change pretty quickly. That stuff's going to drop. And then feel free to start pruning and shaping and doing things with the shrubs.
Are oak trees a little later?
Yeah, I would, as close to dormant season or into dormant season is best, because you're trying to keep the oak,
spores.
All that from drawing in predators, bugs and all that stuff. So I would hold off until wintertime dormant season for that.
Is it a good time to plant like shrubs and grass? Or, I mean, because let's say we're trying to get one of Rooney's rentals ready. I mean, and you know what that's going to look like. And it. Mm-hmm. Roof is sagging.
Nice.
The trees are dead.
Weird.
The driveway's missing.
That's why we got to make the details. The landscape look good to hide everything else.
That's why you're here. You're a wizard. Yeah.
But now is a good time to plant things. Just know that a lot of the nurseries are starting to go through their inventory and put things back in the fields. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you go with the chance of running risk of not having as much inventory. But whatever you get in the ground now is going to be is better established. So when spring comes, you're not trying to dig in wet soil and everything else. Mm-hmm. So. Grass seed, you're probably pushing the envelope a little bit. You should have probably had that done, but we are doing seed projects right now, so try to get that done here before the weather completely
freezes.
How late
with our new houses? We were just talking about new construction. How late with new construction can you safely put down sod?
Well, as long as the sod farms keep cutting it, you got to keep putting it down. The key is you got to water it. You got to make sure the irrigation is going or whatever. So as long as the sod farms are cutting it and you feel comfortable about irrigating it, you can go until the ground freezes.
So if you put it out there and it literally freezes on top of the dirt, I know a couple of our projects last year, we were pushing into November almost where we were still trying to get sod down for customers at their request because of dogs or kids or whatever. And then come spring, it's toast. I mean, it was put down probably a little too late. So
it could be, but as long as it gets a little bit of a start to it, you just that the sod, as they cut it in the field, that's going to go dormant in a few weeks too. So if you can get it down now, come spring, get water on it right away. Mother Nature always helps.
So it bounces back is what you're saying.
It typically does, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yep. So that shouldn't be a problem.
What's hot right now in landscaping? I mean, obviously you guys are wrapping up your season, but I mean, what did you see for trends this year? What were the number one things you were seeing out there in the field?
A lot of people are looking at these like entertainment centers, bocce ball pits.
No kidding.
Huh. It's things where people can entertain folks. Year round. I mean, you can play bocce and stuff into the fall and blow the leaves off and all that. Putting greens for years was hot, but I think golf is slowly kind of passing away a little bit. But bocce ball, anything to do with some type of court system where people can spend time outside.
Are water features still the hot thing too?
Yeah, they are. Different type of water features. They're adding more color to things, different color lights and different aspects that really highlight the feature itself.
I see more like running water features versus, big ponds.
Right. A lot of that
cleanup.
People like that trickling water. It's supposed to be soothing and all that, and it's very nice. Again, now you got leaves to clean out of it and everything else. So there's maintenance to it. So I wouldn't put in a water system like that unless you're willing to spend a little time on it or hire somebody to do it. But
yeah.
Because they are a lot of work. You got to keep the leaves and branches and dogs. And
I like those water features that look like big rocks and stuff like that, and then water comes out the top of them.
Yep.
and they go into the basin and they have no maintenance almost. I mean, you can almost blow the leaves away and they're clean.
Yeah. But a lot of times those filters can plug up because sediment gets in there and then all of a sudden mortar burns out or whatever. So there is things to watch for in that, but yet they're beautiful and very aesthetically pleasing. Hmm.
You know, we were talking before with David Sigler with Batsy that, labor shortage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you're in the trades.
Yep.
We were talking about how hard it is for all these people in which to get labor. But you get everyone could do probably more work, but it's kind of like there's just not enough people out there.
You know, and the key with that is you just got to be honest with people. I just got off the phone here a few minutes ago with somebody. We just said, we can't physically do your work, so I'm not going to say we can. Just be honest with people and say, hey, it's going to have to wait till spring. And if it's closing, you know, and they got to have it done, then they better find somebody else. But
that's why I think it's so important to plan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody plans anymore. They all, you know, gosh, I got a great idea. Let's build a house. Oh, whoops. That builder's got four more in front of you. You know, let's do some landscaping. Mm-hmm. Plan ahead.
Well, sure. And, you know, back the old small town analogy of you get the one contractor in town. Well, right now it's, you know, it might be the spring and they're booked out till August. You wait a couple of weeks. Now that next year is full.
Right.
And they only have so much capacity. And I think that that's what it's coming back to is that the guys that have the good crews, the good laborers, mm-hmm. they have limits and they're not going to take on more than they can handle. Yeah. And so just like you guys, you know, you probably have a limited. So if I was interested in a project with you mm-hmm. and with that forecasting being done ahead of time, thinking mm-hmm. ahead, like, hey, I want to get on a project in the spring.
Right.
Is a good time now to talk to you
it
guys?
It is. And actually, it has been for about a month for people at graduation parties for next year.
Oh, yeah.
Don't wait till spring. I mean, it happens all the time. We'll get a call in May saying, hey, we're having a party in June. Can you come out and re-landscape? It just isn't going to happen. Well, you may find somebody, but you'll get what you pay for then.
Yeah.
But now is the time to plan for that, especially get some of those plants in the ground now so they look good so next year they don't look like they just came out of the container and got put in the ground.
True.
So
last graduation party I did, I didn't plan for that, so I had to go to a different venue, and it took me about seven venues to get a place. So
yeah, but you got deep pockets, so you can go anywhere you want. So.
You ended up with at a chicken wing place, didn't you?
What's that?
You ended up at a chicken wing place, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Hurricanes, and they closed down. I don't know if that's saying something, but
that truly wasn't a bad place, though. No, I don't. I only chuckle because I thought it was a great idea, actually. So,
but most people do not plan for next year, and we've already got four or five jobs on the line for next year, four graduation parties, for all that stuff. So plan now.
So what's the like when we go ahead like right now and you come out, you do a little design for us, mm-hmm. and we say, all right, great. And can you quote me a price and hold that price, or do you have
Typically.
To? You can. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, things aren't going to change too much. You know, maybe the price of fuel go up and down a little bit, but to be honest, things don't change that much. People most time can commit to a price, knowing that there may be some variables, but for the most part, everything should be about the same as it is now.
Because we've, in the new construction world, have seen everything going up, up, up. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Right now, again, we're seeing a massive increase by most of our suppliers.
Materials. Mm-hmm.
Materials, mm-hmm. Yeah, except for lumber. Weird enough, it's kind of gone down, but everything else has gone up, 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 and you know, and I'm sure in your world that happens as well.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's where I think that surety or that, you know, hey, I can do this project for, you know, $5,500,
sure.
Sign here, we'll be there as soon as the ground thaws, you're first on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like that, wouldn't you, Chris?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can budget for it then. But one thing to remember, too, is that what if it's a wet spring? Now instead of being third in the list, this may be June or July before we get to it, if it's a like a spring like last year where it snowed and rained constantly.
Yeah, it does happen.
Yep. All right, we need to take a break. Speaking of preparation, we'll do that and come back with more of the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you're just joining us, I know we just have a few minutes to go in this particular segment, but Chris and Andy, let's fill it up here with our friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat Remick with Greenside Landscape and David Siegel. With should we go with housing first, Minnesota?
We can go by Batsy Housing First Minnesota.
Okay, yeah. I just went by your office the other day in Roseville.
Roseville.
Yeah, I had a closing right next to it. So
great.
I was talking about you guys do a bang up job with marketing. I really think so. And that artisan tour, to me, was kind of the top dog. How do people find out about all these events?
So we do quite a bit of mass marketing. We're doing quite a bit of digital as well. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today. I would say check out the Parade of Homes website. It's mm-hmm. paradeofhomes.org. Maybe take a look at that. And if you're looking for just generally builders and remodelers and members of the association, batsy.org, BATC.org will get you all the members of the association. And, you know, we do find that folks that are members of the association, as I'm sure it is, nursery and landscape as well, that, you know, they tend to be those better operators that care a little bit more about the organization and the community and proud to do the work that they do.
So you're always looking for more members as well?
Always looking for more members, of course. Right.
You had a question for Mr. Remick.
Well, I did. I was wondering about gardens. Mm-hmm. So if I could ask if it's the time to turn your garden or not.
As long as it dries out, you know, want to stay off it if it's wet like it is now. But as it dries up a little bit and before it freezes, it's a good time to do it.
Good time to do it. I got some work to do this weekend, maybe.
If it isn't raining.
Okay, so if it's not dried up and before it freezes, I think your garden's in big trouble.
It's not going to happen. No, so. Well, you know what? We had pot heaters actually in our basements in some of our new houses starting last week because it was getting cold to dry that drywall. So, I mean, it's an unusually cool early this year from what we can see. I mean, this is the first time I've done that in years. But, you know, I wanted to say, as long as we got you here, David, I wanted to quickly comment that the sky is not falling in construction. It's actually looking positive. I think we're retooling.
Yep.
We're getting some new products out there that are matching the budgets. And I just wanted to leave on a positive note that you see housing to be great the next couple of years.
I do. I think we're in for two or three pretty solid, pretty strong years. I don't think we're going to have explosive growth, but I think we're going to have steady growth. And as you were talking about planning and thinking about that, I do know a number of folks who are trying to build a new house, and they're finding the same problem that you're talking about, Pat, which is it's taken a lot longer than maybe homeowners have anticipated. And so I would say plan for that similarly. Think about it. If you want to get something in the ground in the spring, you probably ought to be out talking to some of your builders now and getting on those calendars because they are backed up a little bit. Same mm-hmm. is true in remodeling. We're hearing from our remodeling community that they're very, very busy. And it's frustrating for them as it is for the homeowner. Somebody says, I want this project done in the next month or two, and they're saying, well, not really.
So if I'm a listener and I'm going to build an average-priced house in the Twin Cities, whatever that is nowadays in new construction, what, $450? How long do you think the average is from the time you meet the builder to the time you get the keys in the Twin Cities market? Just as I'm not going to hold you to it, but I'd be curious.
I'm going to say it's in the 4 to 5 month range now, maybe as much as 6 months right now. And that's certainly mm-hmm. longer than it's typically been. And that's a function of that labor shortage. And just you need the folks to do the work. And the demand is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you plan well, you're going to be fine. And, of course, there's always those challenges. You got to make a lot of decisions. Maybe you didn't think about those. There's maybe a delay here and there. Maybe you can't get the permit from the city at the time that you want and all those kinds of things. So mm-hmm. you got to factor in a little extra time.
Well, and it's not like a restaurant. You put an order in and they just make it and put it in the oven and then they serve it. You have so many other variables that are in play. Each city is different, like you said. The building right. officials are different. There's so many variables for builders that can fluctuate that number that has – really nothing, no reflection of their quality or their product other than it's a timing thing. And so I was going to say, I think you're even being nice at 6 months. I think I'd budget 6 to 8 months yep. On the average build and some of the bigger stuff even maybe a little more.
Oh, if you're building a larger product that's a kind of a different build, then we've got some folks, if you're doing $2 million house, you're probably looking at 9 to 12 months to do yeah. that project.
That's awesome.
Without a doubt.
If Greenside's landscaping is back down to 3 months, right, Pat?
Yep, something like that.
How do they get a hold of you, Pat?
You can call the office, 952-890-5303 or greensideinc.com.
Do that one more time since you shut your mic off.
952-890-5303 or greensideinc.com.
Surprised you caught that, Andy.
I think everybody caught it because yeah. you got the mic off.
Sorry.
Chris, how do we find you?
ChrisRooney.com is the place to go.
All right. And David, where do we find you? Or
Batsy.org. I would do BATC.org.
And then myself, Prasky.com, and, check us out for open houses, opportunities. Or on Facebook. We're out there, too.
Absolutely, on a Facebook page. And you can find Denny here every Saturday and Sunday.
That's right. That's right.
Denny takes a lot of our emails us for us, which is kind of nice. Yes.
I was thinking about going back to trade school. It sounds like it's a pretty good gig. Huh?
It's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
All right. We have to go. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another edition of The Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.